Any question you would like to ask?
Maharaji, often when I'm having darshan and I'm enjoying it the most, the mind begins to raise many doubts, and I need some help. I'd appreciate it if you would comment on that.
What can I comment? What is going on in your mind? You can comment better. You see, on the one hand you say you are enjoying, the other hand you say I should comment. You see, I don't know what is the... Your mind wanders also, mind have doubts also, mind enjoys also. How can these both things be? This both statements is contradictory. If there are doubts, the mind wanders, then you don't enjoy. If you enjoy, then there is nothing else in your mind. Either you don't enjoy, or you are just wandering. You should search your own self. Yes?
Maharaji, what is the best way for us to remember Master's birthday?
Every day is a birthday. There's nothing special about birthday. You see, birthday is for children. It is not for the grown-up men. Parents are happy to see their children growing. Now they have learned to sit, now they have learned to crawl, now they have learned to stand, now they can speak, now they can murmur, now they go to school, and now they are going out to play in the streets. So parents enjoy all these phases, you see, of their development. So when you are at the side of your grave and you are standing in a queue, elders have already in the grave waiting for you there, what is their birthday? There's no birthday. It has become more commercialized. A man who is already 90 years, if you remind him of his birthday, search his heart whether he is happy or he is sad. He always thinks whether I will be here next year or not on this day. So how can he be happy? No matter how much he keep his face, but something inner always tells that you have to quit now this stage. So these things have just become commercial. Father Day, Mother Day, Birthday. They're just for commerce, nothing else. I have personally given no significance to it at all. I never knew anything about my birthday unless I happened to come to Vyas. My parents never celebrated, and I never even knew my birthday. And I don't give any significance even now. Yes?
Master, I read in Spiritual Gems that being on the path could help those loved ones that have died. I read in Spiritual Gems that being on the path could help loved ones that have died. Yet, how can that be when they have died, our relationship ends?
You see, when your relations die, your relationship ends. What is your relationship with the relations of the past birth now? You don't even know who they are. What to say of relationship? You are not even conscious who they were. So if that has ended, that relationship has ended, even this will end. It's a question of time. Yes?
Master, a question about meditation. After, when you've been doing Simran and Dhyan, and then if you start seeing some flashes of light, do you stop doing Dhyan and concentrate totally on the light, or do you carry on doing Dhyan of the Master?
I'm not, just repeat the question again.
During meditation, when you've been doing Simran and Dhyan, then the next thing you see flashes of light.
Yes.
Do you stop doing Dhyan of the Master at that stage.
You see, when you see the light, then you have something to hold your attention. We want something here to hold our attention. Before the light, we are having an imaginary face of the Master before us to hold our attention. So when we see the actual light, then we leave that. Then we have something light, something substantial to hold our attention. After all, the radiant form of the Master is to be projected from that sound and light, from that Shabad. Yes?
Maharaji?
Yes, please.
You intimated pretty strongly the other day that to be divorced was to risk rebirth, I think. And I'd like some clarification, if you will.
What did I say first?
Well, somebody asked if we got divorced, that it meant we might have to be reborn. And you intimated that that was so, that it was likely that we'd have to be reborn. If we try to avoid the pain of the marriage and separate, that we would have to return to balance those karmas.
If at all any karma is left.
I see.
It depends, it varies with individuals.
I wonder if you would advise Satsangi to endure any pain or humiliation to stay in the marriage in order to make the marriage survive. Or is there a point at which...
Well, brother, my books are full on the marriages.
I've read them, Maharaj. I've searched the books.
They all look like marriage counselor books, rather than Sant Mat books. It's pretty, I have to write all that. Now I generally try to avoid it. Well, people have gone beyond marriages even. I generally just avoid this question.
You would rather not talk about the question at all?
No, but if there is a sense, I will. But I don't want people to find excuses to divorce each other. They should jump in marriage with eyes open, not eyes closed.
Should we ever give up? Should we ever give up on the marriage of Satsangi, Maharaji?
Pardon?
Should a Satsangi ever give up on the marriage, or should we continue to persist to make the marriage work?
Well, it depends upon the individual. It depends upon many factors. We can't sit on judgment on anybody. But generally, I am against divorces.
Maharaji, once you said, someone asked that it might be in someone's karma to kill someone. You said yes, but he might also be in his destiny to be hanged. And my question is, if it's in one's destiny to be divorced, might not also be in one's destiny to be reborn?
That doesn't feel, you see, that doesn't mean that we should justify our divorces and marriages. If it is in the destiny, it will happen.
But it might also be destined to be reborn, is that so?
If it is, we have to born, we may be born again, if it is in our destiny.
Thank you.
Nobody can stop it. Yes.
Brother asked me to translate for him. His sister could have no children and he's given one of his. Is that a sin?
What? She has no children?
No. His sister could have no children and he's given one of his. He has three. Is this a sin?
Then nothing harm, no harm in it.
Thank you.
Then no harm in it. Yes, please.
Maharaji, this is a very old question. How and why did this creation come into being?
How and why this creation at all?
Yes.
I mean, why it has come into being?
Yes.
He knows best who has created it.
Thank you.
We only know that He has created it. We have to go back to Him to know why He has created it. And perhaps at that level of consciousness, you may not even bother to ask Him why He created it. Even if mystics try to explain the meaning behind this creation, we will not be able to understand at all with this development of our mind. We have to spiritually grow to understand the purpose of His creation. With our mind and intellect and logic, we cannot solve this problem. No mystic has ever written why He has created it. But the fact is that He has created it and we are separated from Him. So let us first solve this problem of separation. And then after solving solving this problem of separation, we will also try to know why he has created it.
Thank you, Maharaji.
Maharaji, you have said that the disciple is protected during meditation. Is this protection only of a spiritual nature, or is it also of a physical nature as well?
Well, sister, actually it is a spiritual nature. But where physical protection is essential for the development of the spiritual nature, then there may be a protection too sometimes. But normally what we mean to say the protection of the Master is the spiritual.
Thank you, Master.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Master, can a Sasangi feel reassurance and confidence that if they make effort on the path, that they will always be steady on the path? Or are there karmic clouds that can get in the way, that will deter them?
Sister, we should always be sincere to be on the path. We should do our best endeavor to travel on the path, but then leave everything in the hand of the Father. We have our own individual karmas which we have to go through. Sometimes they sweep us away from the path, even then. But as I said a day before, that we are pulled back to the path again. Every day the sun doesn't come. Sometimes we have a very thick clouds. We can't see the light. But then the sun comes again. Once the Master has taken anybody under his shelter, he cannot escape from the Master. He will ultimately come to the same fold and under the protection of the same shepherd.
You said that we are building on a rock.
Yes.
So that means that any effort that we do put in...
means that we must satisfy our intellect before we follow any path. We must satisfy our intellect, our curiosity. All questions must be answered. It is not right to set aside the intellect and follow any path, because then you cannot build faith, and without faith you cannot build practice. Intellect will come again in your way. If you will brush it aside, it will come again in your way. If you satisfy the intellect, then you are building on a rock. You are not building on a sand, because you have satisfied your intellect. So even if your whole life is lost in satisfying your intellect, it is not the time lost, it is time gained. Yes, yes.
I'd just like to thank you for letting me come and see you. This is the first time I've seen you. I'd like to apologize for my poor attempts at meditation, but... is it okay to ask for a little bit of grace just to keep trying?
Well, brother, we should try to do our best to attend to our meditation. And His grace is always there. He is not lacking in His grace. We may lack in our efforts. As I said yesterday, He is a great giver. We are very poor beggars. So we should not hesitate to beg. His grace is never lacking. He is always there. Because when He has pulled us on the path, why should He withhold His grace now? When we never knew anything even of the Father, never knew anything about the path, when He has done so much for us, why should He withhold His grace now? We should be receptive to the grace. Grace is always there. Yes, anybody can speak. Yes, yes. You have still questions?
Maharaji? Thank you. I was discussing with some friends the thing that I brought up yesterday about leaping off of a building.
Leaping?
Jumping from a building. And I wanted to just, you know, clarify that I wasn't considering it as like a suicide attempt, but rather that if it's not a real good analogy, but when Christ had walked out upon the waters and had called on Peter, I mean, I'm not, you know, in that position, but he had called on Peter to walk to him over the waters. And that was my feeling behind that. You know, it's not that I was trying to think of committing suicide to end my life here and leave all my responsibilities and so on, but I felt real strongly that somehow I need to test the strength of my faith. And it seems like meditation is that test of faith, that we continue, even in the darkness.
Well, brother, if we too much analyze ourselves, it will lead us nowhere. Mm. We analyze ourselves too much. How much love we have built, how much faith we have been able to build, how much progress we have made. We are always analyzing ourselves.
It's just that my intellect is so dull that I want, you know, I just want to be awakened, you know, like somebody slap me and wake me up so that I see vividly with all my heart, with all my mind, my master before me in every moment of my life.
Don't feel despair, just turn to your meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please. Yes, anybody can say.
Maharaji?
Yes, anybody can speak.
There is a great master in Spiritual Gems alluded to the blue sky within.
Huh?
He alluded to the blue sky within.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, in reference to the signposts on the way to the radiant form, if there is a sequence of events or experiences that one has to pass through, like the blue sky and the starry sky
Well, generally the sequence is told to us at the time of initiation, but the sequence can differ with individuals also. Some people sometimes have the glimpses of the radiant form, even at the third eye, but then they may not be able to hold it. It will come and go.
So there's not a hard and fast sequence of events that
generally we are informed sequence is there, but sometimes I say it can differ with individuals. Our visions, our progress can differ. Sometimes many things we see within ourselves, which we have yet to earn by our meditation, to just to give us a little faith. And then we may able to put up more effort to get it, to reach to that place. And before that, so many phases we may have to go through.
Thank you.
Yes.
Maharaji, I read in Spiritual Gems, the great master advised a woman not to come to India. He said that the radiant form within was the thing to see before she made a journey. And last night we had a satsang about the importance of the exterior darshan. So I'm a bit confused as which is the most important, the exterior.
Brother, it's a letter written to that lady. What do you know about the circumstances of that woman? We know nothing about this. These letters are individuals, not general letters. She was anxious to go to the great master, and he must have advised her that your circumstances don't permit you to come to India at all now. The master's form is there right within you. Try to seek there. Everybody is not in a position to come to India. Many people are advised not to come. Their circumstances don't permit them at all. That doesn't mean that they don't see the radiant form within.
But which is the most important?
Yes. Everything is important.
It's all important. See, last night
meditation is more important.
Yeah, last night I heard that the exterior form of darshan was the most important.
No, I told you what darshan means. It's the helplessness of a lover to look at the beloved. That is darshan. Darshan is nothing by which you are going to get some mechanical effect. You cannot calculate by looking at the master how much you have gained, how much karma you have been able to finish, how much progress you have already made, because you have been able to look for 2 hours at him, at 3 hours at him. It's absolutely nonsense to think like that. Darshan is just the helplessness of a lover to look at the beloved. He never thinks about any calculations at all. He never thinks about any gain at all. He is happy in his love. It is something very different. Our concept of darshan is very different. We look at the master thinking perhaps we are gaining something. We calculate how much karmas we have been able to finish, or how much progress we will be able to make by this. This calculation leads you nowhere if there is no love behind it, if there is no depth behind it, which forces you to look at the master. That is more essential than looking at the master. It is the love that matters. It is not the look that matters.
Yes, please.
Maharaji, we've heard you discuss from time to time on tapes, talking about the modern civilization, primarily Western civilization, and how with our technical advances we've become rather self-centered in our living. We have telephones and cars, and you've talked about how this self-centered style of living is very egoistic. Am I right so far? Before I go on?
Yes, I think you are right.
Okay. There's something about that. My mind seems to find the conflict in Great Master's writings where he says, consider solitude the greatest of good fortune. So is there...
That solitude is something very different. You are trying to be in touch with the world, with the modern way of civilization. You are not trying to cut off from the world. You are trying to be with the world, but with the modern civilization, without being in contact with the masses. And withdrawing yourself from the multitude and trying to find a solitude is something very different. You are confusing these both two points.
I'm afraid I'm still confused.
You see, you are not in a solitude when you have a telephone, you have a television, and you have everything, and you are in touch with everything in the world while sitting at home. You don't want to see the faces and yet to want to be with every one of them. This is not solitude at all. Solitude when you withdraw from everybody and you enjoy your own company. And you utilize that time in your meditation and for yourself. This is not solitude. Yes, sister?
Maharaji, in October at the first meeting?
Pardon?
In October at the first meeting that we had in New Delhi? You remember? In New Delhi?
Yes, yes.
At those meetings, at that time, there was just such an incredible amount of grace and power and love coming from you that I felt so deeply that the people at home were receiving an incredible amount of this grace and love, even though they weren't physically present in New Delhi, in your physical presence. And I wrote to them and I said, you know, don't even worry about being here, because Hazur Maharaji is giving us so much that you don't have to be here. All you have to do is just be receptive to what he's putting out. It's so, as though the whole world were bathed in a sea of your love. And that's right, isn't it? They didn't have to be here physically because...
Sister, you were like that because that was the first meeting.
You mean that I felt that way?
Naturally, because it was the first meeting.
It was the most wonderful experience, I think.
And then you started seeing him every day. So probably that whole enthusiasm start fading out.
No, but that's not what I meant. I mean, you know that I'm very weak. I mean, that's why I'm so lucky to have you for my living master. No, what I meant was the people at home, Maharaji, they received a lot too, didn't they?
Everybody received, you see. The master is within every one of us. We have only to be receptive to receive.
That's what I thought. It didn't. I mean, I was so grateful and happy to be here in your presence.
That's what I always say, that he's a great giver. We are a very poor receiver.
I know I am, but don't ever stop giving to me. I just couldn't say, Maharaji, thank you. You're my whole life.
Yes, anybody. Yes, please.
Maharaji?
Bhaktan?
I have two or three questions. I hope it's not too much.
Yes,
but
please.
There's one quote in Philosophy of the Masters, Volume 1, that I would like you to explain to me. A great master says, I have to read it, he says, we should so mold our lives that all our actions, namely seeing, hearing, talking, eating, drinking, reading, writing, working, and meeting with people should ensure our progress. And I wonder, how can those things be performed in such a way as to ensure our progress?
Sister, I practically say every day that we have not to close ourselves for a couple of hours in a room for meditation. In our daily activities, meditation should reflect at every step. Whole day spent in meditation. We should be just living in the atmosphere of meditation in the whole day. And our all daily activities are subject to that meditation. In that influence we have to spend the whole day. Then always by reading and talking and every time your master is always with you. And you are always making progress with him.
He says, seeing and hearing and eating and drinking. In other words, you then always remember the master while
it
you're
doing... It means in your all activities of life.
You remember the master while you're
yes.
doing all these things.
Yes.
That's what he's saying.
Ah.
Can I ask you
yes,
one
please.
More?
Yes, please.
There's another quote of his in Discourses on Sant Mat. And he says about meditation, something to the effect that if one sits in meditation... and one's mind just goes out to all the forests and the mountains and the hills and so on. He's saying that that's no self-denial, it's no self-abnegation, and it sounds as if that kind of meditation is pretty useless. That's the gist of the quote there. But you have said in these meetings that one shouldn't worry about the quality of one's meditation. And I'm just wondering...
Sister, I tell you, when a child learns to walk, how many times he falls? When we all learn to walk, through how many phases we go through, we can hardly learn to stand. And how many times we fall? All those phases through which the child walk are essential for us to learn to run. So they are all steps forward for us to learn to run. You can't eliminate all those phases from your progress. They are all progress forward. You can't eliminate that at all. If you are always frightened of falling, you will never be able to, learn to run. If we are always worried about the quality of our meditation, we will never be able to try to get the right quality of meditation by sitting in meditation. It has to start with the faltering meditation. Mind definitely runs here and there, but we have to fight with it to bring it back and back to the right point. And ultimately we succeed. So all that is essential for us, for our success. You can't eliminate that phase at all. That is a part of our meditation.
then, if after 20 years one is still wandering and all that, one shouldn't worry about it.
You see, a person who gets a PhD degree from the university, he has spent 24 years in the university. He cannot escape all that and just go to that class and get a PhD degree. All that is subject to, you see, his going through and spending 24 years of hard work. But he gets PhD in that year. But that he cannot eliminate, that phases he cannot eliminate at all, through which he has gone through. So similarly, faltering in our meditation cannot be avoided for our success. So every time we devote to meditation is a part of our meditation, is part of our success. Because ultimately it is going to lead us to our success.
Can I ask just one more thing?
Yes, please.
And that is, this is in Call of the Great Master by Dalai Lal Kapoor. And Great Master there talks about controlling the mind or training the mind. And he talks about this, you know, a glass of water, for instance, and you put it in front of you and you say, I will not drink it now. You're very thirsty, but after 10 minutes, I will drink it. And it's in line with what Mr. Babani was talking about the other day about training the mind, you know, the man in the box and so on. And Great Master also said that one should make it a habit to do one or two things every day that go against the inclination of one's mind. Now, my question is that if one works on one's simran during the day, which is very difficult to do, is that enough, or should one also try to incorporate some of that advice that he was talking about, that kind of training?
See, that I don't know with what reference Master is writing. If we go on submitting to our mind at every step, we will never be able to conquer our mind. We have to resist the temptations. Whatever weaknesses we have, whatever temptations we are tempted to, we have to resist from them. So we deny our mind all those pleasures which he is so fond of them. That is fighting with the mind, with the help of Simran and Naam.
I see. And one can also do some of those little exercises that he talks about, and I mean, it's always a good
that
thing to try to do
that. That is what he means to say that, don't submit to, you see, don't submit to those weaknesses. Resist them. Fight with your mind, not to be tempted by them. And ultimately you will succeed.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Maharaji, I've known of satsangis and children of satsangis whose spiritual sight must be open. For they see the master walk into satsang back home, the spiritual presence of the master, and give darshan and then leave at the end of the satsang. And I was wondering if for a disciple whose inner sight isn't open, if they walk into satsang and accidentally sit on the master's lap, will he hold the disciple in his arms, like a father does his child, or will he get up and move?
Well, if you will become a loving child, father automatically lifts the child and takes it in the lap. Child doesn't have to come to the lap. Father is always anxious to have the child in the lap. The child is running away. If he becomes loving, neat and clean, father automatically lifts the child.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
If the physical form of the master comes from Shabad...
From where are you speaking?
From here, sir.
Yes, please.
If the physical form of the master comes from Shabad, and the inner radiant form of the master comes from Shabad, is there any difference between the two, sir?
Of course. This is in the flesh, and that is just pure radiant form, you see, and pure Shabad.
Thank you.
Yes.
Master, if you've been a satsangi on the path for a long time and you haven't made inner progress, but you've not really gone backwards and not really forward. A feeling that you're just stuck. Just the amount of time you've been on the path. Is there any chance that we've made progress and we don't know about it?
Well, it may be possible, may not be possible. It depends upon the individual sasangis. There cannot be, it can't be generalized.
Okay, thank you.
Master, I've been on the path 12 years, and I have a rock-like conviction and faith in you, in the teachings and the path, but I also seem to have a heart like a stone. When I look at you, most of the time I don't feel love and longing, I just see Mount Everest. I see you as something very big and far away from me. My request is that you take from me whatever you need to take from me, but give me love and longing.
Well, brother, love and longing is within every one of us. The more we give it in meditation, the more it grows and grows and grows. Meditation helps us to grow this longing and love and devotion. Meditation plants this seed of love. And meditation sees that it grows, and grows to become one with the Father. So we shouldn't try to analyze too much where we stand. We should just do our duty.
Yes?
Maharaji, many times when I'm sitting here, and you're sitting there, and I see the wind causing the sheets to blow back and forth, it feels like we're all in a big ship, going up to Sach Khand together, and I want to thank you for allowing us to occupy the ship together with you.
Well, this breeze is most welcome, so your suggestion is also most welcome. Yes, please.
Master, I'm confused between when a disciple is going through its destiny and he might be graced or his karma is lightened, is that spontaneous or is that part of his destiny?
Can you speak again a little more clearer?
When a disciple is going through his karma and it might be lightened by you through grace, is this part of his destiny or is the grace spontaneous?
Well, nobody can say whether one is sowing a seed or one is going through a destiny. They are so intermixed, intermingled. Very difficult to differentiate them.
Thank you.
Yes.
Master, if I have a problem in my meditation when I'm at home, if I'm patient, will the inner master always guide me, or is it best to write to you?
Well, if you can solve your problem within yourself, nothing like it. Otherwise, you can always most welcome to write about any problem about meditation.
I always worry that you're very busy with a lot of...
Don't worry about my busy. As long as the letters are concerning the meditation, I'm never busy. But if it concerns the domestic problem, I'm always busy.
And could I also... a sister mentioned about satsangi seeing the master outside. I mean, not when he's there, but they see... The master, is that the radiant form of the master, if you see the master outside when he's not there?
You see, master projects himself. What is the radiant form of the master? When physically he is not there and we see him,
That
means he is projecting himself from that Shabad. Whether you see him within, whether you see him outside, anywhere, so that naturally is the radiant form of the master.
Thank you.
Master, I would like to thank you for sacrificing your time to be with us, and we will really miss you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, please.
Master, for the last three mornings in satsang, there's been someone singing beautiful songs while we have your darshan. Could you talk to us about one of those, please?
Sister, I've forgotten what he was reading. Because every day he reads from some mystic, some saints. And no matter, I always say, whose saints Shabad we take, they have same spiritual truth to share with us. Everybody has his own way of explaining his love and expression about the Father, but they have same spiritual truth to share with us. So today probably it was Bahu, the Muslim mystics from Pakistan, and one day it was Kabir, another day it was probably Bulle Shah, or Swamiji also was one of these days. So they are all of them speak the same language, language of meditation. They always praise that cosmic law which governs the universe, which governs our soul back to the creation. And there is no escape from birth and death unless we follow that cosmic law. We all have to live within that. Yes? Yes, sister?
Master, who or what is the predominant creative force in our lives?
Well, who is the predominant force?
Creative force in our lives. Every day we do certain things, we go certain places. What is the cause of that? Of
our mind. Our mind, sister, which is attached to this creation, which is attached to the object and faces of this creation, this mind is pulling us every day to one thing or another.
Should we have an attitude of responsibility for that?
Of course, we have to discharge our responsibilities in this life. But question is, responsibility about what? We have responsibility to the country, to the our own family people, our own children, our own office, our people with whom we work, our neighbors. These are all our responsibilities. Yes, please.
A few questions ago, you talked about the cosmic law. Were you referring to karma or to meditation? When you mentioned this cosmic law?
Well, divine law, which has that creative power, which has created the creation, which pulls our soul from this creation back to the creator.
I thought maybe...
That is a divine law, that is a cosmic law.
I thought you were referring to the law of karma or to meditation.
Everything comes in that. It covers everything. The whole universe it covers. The whole philosophy it covers.
Master, can any of us fail to go home?
Pardon?
Can any of us fail to go home?
You mean our real home?
Our real home.
Well, left to us, we are all failing. But left to him, there's no failure at all.
Thank you.
You were asking something? Yes?
Master, what should I explain to my friends who wonder how a master who is a man can be God?
Well, it's very difficult to explain. Even we cannot explain this to our own self, what to say of explaining to anybody else. This explanation comes from within. This conviction or experience comes from within, this not by argument or logic.
Thank you.
Master, is it possible to be greedy for darshan and for that to be a bad thing? It seems like sometimes we're so greedy to get close to you.
Well, brother, whether it is a bad or a good, but a lover can't help it. Lover has his own way of looking at things. He doesn't bother whether it is bad or good. It is just his helplessness. And this concept of bad and good is a concept of the world, not of the lover. What he wants is darshan, nothing else. Yes, please?
I think it's been a great privilege for us to see you.
And I want to thank you and all the people who have made this possible for us, and especially for the privilege of sitting in on another initiation. And one question, can we say that God is atomic energy?
I don't know what is your concept of atomic energy, but God is a God. Now give it any name. Well, before I close the meeting, I would like to say that it's really very unfortunate that there is a restriction of going to Punjab. Otherwise, I would not have bothered you to collect here and go through such hardship of spending so much money and staying in the hotels and have spending so inconvenient time here, you see. I know everybody could not be comfortable here, and it is not a very right way of meeting also out of Dera. We have our own facilities there, but let us hope Dera will open soon and you will all will be able to come to Dera, and there will be no restrictions on you people at all. So I'll just take leave, you see. Thank you very much.